Now, many thoughts came to me as I was meditating upon this passage of Scripture, and especially in the area of consequences or result. And I began looking into my own life and what my real purpose as a pastor is. And two or three things came out at me. Number one is that my goal as a pastor is not to make people feel good about themselves. Amen. Now, there are pastors who work in that realm, but that is not my goal. Nor is it my goal to cause people to look good in the eyes of others. Amen. Nor is it my goal to make myself look good in the eyes of people. I have one goal in being a pastor. And if I fail in this goal, I have failed. No matter how well read I might be, no matter how well known I might be, no matter how well liked in some areas I might be, if I fail in this goal as a pastor, I have failed. And that is to preach so as to edify the listeners that they may live their lives to the glory of Jesus Christ. That's the only purpose in my preaching or being a pastor. I want to glorify God with my life. I want to live before others so that they will know that. And I want to preach this book in such a way as to challenge their life that the most important thing they can do is to glorify God with their life. For I assure you there is a day coming when that is all that's going to matter. Who loved us here, who liked us here, is not going to mean one thing when we stand before God. I am not living to leave a legacy behind, to build an empire for someone to remember me by, but for one thing, to glorify Him who gave Himself for me when He died on the cross at Calvary. Now, I want us to look into our passage tonight. And notice with me, please, in verse 4, that when the sower goes forth and sows, that some of the seeds that he sows fell by the wayside. Now, I am a word studier. I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm not even a student of the Greek. But I love to study the language from which our Bible was translated. Not because we have an inferior translation as to what was read. But I related to the class this morning that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is a great statement. But there are only three words in the language of which our Bible was written that is translated into that one full sentence. So it is a very rich language. But the word by comes from a word that means to be beside of, to call alongside of. And so when I began to think about it, as we notice it here, that some of those seeds fell by beside the fields that were formed. And what they did, they had a pathway that they travel between the fields that they farmed. And so when the sower was out sowing, he wasn't paying all that much attention to where the seed was going. His job was to sow. And my and your job is to sow. We cannot always help where the seed falls. But some of that seed fell on that ground that had been trodden down. In fact, it had been trodden upon so much that it had become a familiar pathway so that they used it when they traveled from one area to another. Now, an old divine or an old expositor would say it like this. Ah, brothers and sisters, the soil of our hearts is the only means of the word falling into our lives and taking root that it might bring forth fruit to the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 8, we see another preposition, but other fell into good ground. That is a different word. And I became interested in that, but I was somewhat taken back when I looked up at verse 5. And so in verse 5, we read, some fell upon stony ground. And it is the same word. And so I thought, well, you know, we're looking at different things transpiring here and different types of soil. And, you know, that language of which our Bible was translated is like our language in this sense. One word can be used several different ways. And that's what's going on here. And by the way, because a word, let me say this, I'm digressing now. You know what that is? That's a fancy word for running a rabbit, all right? Just because a word can be translated differently than it is in our Bible does not mean there is a mistake here. Our translators knew what they were doing when they translated our Bible. But it is the same word. And so then I began to look at verse 7. And some fell among thorn. It is the same word that is translated into in verse 8. So that really moved me to look into this word. It's a little word, only three letters in our English. But here is what that word means. It means downward pressure on that upon which a thing rests. And so there is some active motion being suggested here. Now, that may not mean a whole lot, but I pray it will as we go on. Remember this, downward pressure on that upon which a thing rests, active motion being suggested. Now, we know what the seed is. The seed is the word of God. But we read in Hebrews 4 and 12, the word of God is quick, it is alive and powerful. So it is actively working everywhere it goes. In other words, it has a design. When your pastor stands in this pulpit or invites one of you preachers or a pastor or evangelist to come through, and the word of God is being preached, God is designing something by that word. I mean, he has a purpose behind it. It is not just an act of fulfilling a responsibility of feeding or giving a Bible lesson or truths from the Bible. God is purposing something by every word that goes forth out of his men and women in the teaching area's mouth. I assure you of that. Now, with this in mind, I want us to go to 1 Timothy, and I want to explain this. All right, now, I'm not going to be all night, but I want to labor this a little bit. All I know to do, Pastor, is just give something out as the good Lord gives it to me. And so we are in 1 Timothy, and we are at chapter 5. And if you'll look with me, please, in verse 5, 1 Timothy 5 and 5. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God. There is our word. Trusteth in God. Now remember what we're talking about. Downward pressure on that upon which a thing rests. There is active motion in suggested here. So what is this? This is a picture of a person who is classified as a widow indeed, trusting in God, leaning upon God, putting her force upon God, trusting God fully to take care of her. So there is some action involved here. There is some pressure here. In fact, she is leaning her entire weight upon the only hope she has to hope in, and that hope is God. So there's much involved here in this little word. So let's go from there to 2 Corinthians. I could have written all of this out, but I want you to look with me, please, in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon, there is our word, upon their heart. So he's talking about the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel has turned their back on God as a whole. And consequently of that, there is a veil over the nation of Israel as a whole pressing upon them. May I stop to say this? When a person rejects Christ and rejects his word, many times they never take into the fact of the consequence of such a terrible deed against God. God does not send his message forth to be rejected. He did not send his son forth to be rejected. And when Israel rejected them, a veil with pressure, that's why it's so difficult and so hard to lead a Jew to Christ. Thank God some of them do get saved. Bless God for everyone who will get saved. But one day as a whole, when they turn to Christ, that veil is going to be taken off. Amen. Its heart will turn back to God again. But don't forget this. When we reject God's message, and when we reject God's messenger, I'm speaking with a capital M, the message of God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a terrible price to pay. Now we're going back to Matthew chapter 13, and we're looking again at verses 5 and 7. Whew, you preach me to death. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. In verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. The seed penetrated the soil, but because of objects in the soil, the seed could not bring forth any fruit. And that's a very, very important issue with God. We'll go to John 15. All right, we'll go to John 15, please. All right, in John 15, we have this great dissertation when many label as an allegory of the vine that our Lord deals with here. But if you'll look with me, please, in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I don't know about you, but that frightens me when I read that. Now, if we'll notice here, in verse 2, the word fruit three times. And then in verse 5, it appears again. In verse 8, again, and in verse 16, twice. So in this passage, our Lord mentions fruit in the sense of bearing fruit at least 8 times. So my contention is this, that fruit bearing is a very important issue with God. God wants us as His people to be fruit bearers. Now, a fellow said to me not long ago, he said, there is no such thing as a fruitless Christian. Well, I'm not going to argue with that. It's not worth arguing over. But I'm going to take what the word of the Lord said. The word of the Lord said it's possible to be in Christ and to bear no fruit. But woe unto that person. The Bible said God taketh him away. And I'm not going to the Greek to clear up a contradiction here. There is no contradiction. The Bible is plain and simple in what God is saying. Now remember, we're talking about the message and the receiving and accepting of that. Here's what we have. We have the same sower in Matthew 13. Same person. He's going out and sowing. And he's sowing the same kind of seed. Everywhere he goes, he's sowing the same kind of seed. All right, he doesn't sow one kind in the thorns, another kind in the stony ground, another kind on the hard ground, another kind on the good ground. He sows the same kind of seed everywhere he goes, no matter where he is. But here is the situation. The reaping or the result of that sown seed is not the same. And the reason is because the soil was not the same. There is some soil too hard to penetrate. Oh my. Some soil been trodden down too much. Some soil calloused, hardened itself against the very message of the Word of God, the seed that has been sown. And while it is there, it has the same ability. We must know this. The seed that's sown on the hard ground, on the stony ground, on the thorny ground, has the same ability as the seed that is sown in the good ground. No difference at all in it. But a heart here is so hardened that the seed is lying on the surface and cannot penetrate the fowls. The emissaries of the wicked one comes by and devours it away before it's had time to sink into that heart. No opportunity for it to bring forth any fruit. And I'll tell you, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. The last Sunday in October of this year, I will have completed 40 years of pastoring. I was speaking to the dear pastor before coming. We were in just speaking in generalities. And I told him, I said, Pastor, I was at the hospital when a little 1-year-old boy now is his age. I was there when he was born. He was carried to our church and he's in diapers. I watched him from a diaper child. When he was born, he weighed 2 pounds and 13 ounces. His legs were no larger than that. We prayed and prayed, and our church prayed, and the little fella made it. Never did become a big man, but he lived, and he's strong now, of small stature naturally, but he's a small fellow. And you know where that young man has sat under some of the greatest Sunday school teachers that God ever put breath in. He has sat under your preaching. He has sat under my preaching for 21 years. He has sat under Pastor Rain's preaching. We took him to the camp meetings several times. He has sat under some of the greatest preachers that ever lived and listened to them preach. You know where he is tonight? He is sitting in jail, awaiting at least 5 years in the prison. 21-year-old little man. You know what his problem is? He sat there just like he's listening, just like he's taking in everything, but the whole time his heart is becoming hardened against the word that is being sold, and he will not accept that. I'm not telling you that tonight with any glee in my soul. I've wept. My wife is weeping every time she stands up to request prayer for this young man. Our church is heartbroken, but I'm going to tell you, this comes out of away from the church's hand. It comes away from the pastor's hand. When an individual will harden their heart and not allow the word of God to sink in.
Amen.
Some soil was too stony for the root of the seed to get deep enough to draw the nutrients from the soil to sustain it when the heat increased. The sun comes up. And the sun could be likened to a whole lot of things you have to face, shall we say, when the heat turns up. And it's going to turn up, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to turn up. We might talk about the slander that's going to come your way. And we might talk about the scoffing that's going to come your way. We might talk about the sorrow, the disappointment that's going to come your way. And the only thing that's going to keep you is this, that you're going to have seed that's rooted enough in your life to sustain you and keep you. None of us in here are strong enough to make it on our own. More than one time I found myself deeply involved in this blessed old book on my face in my study to keep me when the hounds of hell are howling and nipping at my feet. I'm telling you, if you do anything for God and you take a stand for the Lord, people are going to talk about you. Hey, listen to me. Before I was ever saved, people talked about me. After I got saved, people talked about me. Before the Lord called me to preach, people talked about me. After the Lord called me to preach, people talked about me. Before I started pastoring a church, people talked about me. After I began pastoring a church, people have talked about me. Hey, you know what I've learned through the years? People are going to talk about you. Amen. Brace up a little bit. Get your roots deep in this word of God that you can stand when somebody says something about you. God help us. We've got such babies today in our church. I'm sure that's not here. And I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. I'm sure that's not here. But I'm telling you, we've got such babies in churches. Somebody say something against them and they tuck their coat and they run. Boy, I just can't stand. Hey, they go on the job and the boss chews them out. And the fellow laborers are upset with them, but they go right back to work. But they come to the house. Can we not understand what the devil's doing in our life? Get in this book. Get you a healthy diet and stand when the devil comes. And he's going to come. Lord, help us. They didn't treat me right down there. What is the purpose of the church? To treat everybody right? I'm not disregarding that or discrediting that. What is the purpose of the church? It's for you and I to meet together and get fed, to go out here in this world and face an ungodly host and take a stand for Jesus Christ and lift him up and glorify him and try to lead others to Christ. That's mine, your responsibility. That's what the church is for. It's not to make everybody feel good. I like to feel good. I'm feeling pretty good right now. I like to feel pretty good. But every time I've went to church, Brother Cox, I haven't come away feeling good. I've gone a few times licking my wounds. Some soil is too stony. Some is too thorny. the seed can't find any room to exist and bring forth fruit. Jeremiah said, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. That's what he said. Hosea said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now some seed fell by the wayside. The ground was so hard. It's a picture of a heart that's calloused itself and hardened itself to the word cannot sink in it. And then there is a heart that is so shallow that, boy, it gets excited. Oh, can I just make a plug here? And please don't take what I'm going to say wrong. We, at one time, took our people to a lot of camp meetings. I did not quit taking them. They quit having much of a desire to go. But more than one time, I would hear somebody stand up and they would say, boy, I don't know what I would have done if it hadn't been for camp meeting. Now, you hear me out. Next year, boy, I was at my wits, same one. I'm at my wits' end. Oh, I went to the camp meeting. Boy, if it hadn't been for that. I thought, if you'd open your ears, you'd get something here to sustain you. It's this word that's going to keep us. You know what? That's a picture of a stony-hearted Christian. They want the big hoop-de-doo all the time. Amen. And I'm not discounting that. Hoop-de-doo all you want to. But there come some times when we get down to pretty serious stuff. Nobody feels like shouting. I've been in a few places I was afraid to shout. Amen. This Bible will feed our soul. Yes. Amen. And many, many times that's kept me. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. Now some seed fell upon soil that was fertile. That soil would accommodate that seed. And that soil would activate that seed. And that soil would accomplish the purpose for which the seed was sown into it. God, give me such a heart as that. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That you may grow thereby. Watch this. I'm about to make a big statement. And here it is. The responsibility of the sowing is here. And it's there. But the responsibility of the soil is here. The responsibility of the soil is here. If the soil is right, that seed is going to do its job. Hallelujah to God. As a black preacher said, I'm feeling all right now. Jesus said, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. What is Jesus saying? You've got a responsibility. You've got to have a heart to receive that seed. You've got to have an ear that's going to hear. There are several things Christ said to the seven churches through the Apostle John. But there are three things he said to every church. And one of those three things was, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Isn't that right? He said that to every church. Amen. He's saying that to you. He's saying that to me. Please, I am not intimating tonight that the Holy Ghost doesn't have a part in preparing the soul of our heart to receive the Word of God. In fact, I pray, Lord, prepare my heart. I want my heart ready to receive something from the man of God when he preaches. That's what the prayer room's for. I call it the laver. Where we go and clean up and get ready to go to worship in the house of God. Amen and amen. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will work in the heart of that yielded believer when he allows him to do his work in his heart. Earlier, I stated the activity of the sower was the same. And the action or ability of the seed was the same. But the outcome or results of productivity were different. Why? Because of the soil's attitude or mindset toward the seed. Soil number one is a picture of a shut mind, fell by the wayside. Or if you want to label it stubborn mind, it'll work. They both start with an S. A stubborn mind. I'm just not going to have that. The second soil, the stony soil, is a picture of the superficial mind. Yeah. It's on the surface. Right. Awesome. Boy, I like that. Yeah. Man, I love the way he jumps when he preaches. Yeah. I love the way he holds his hand. I've heard of, and you have too. Yeah. Right. I'm far more interested in what the preacher says than how he acts. And the third mind is a picture of a selfish mind. Now I'll accept it and I'll appreciate it as long as it does not interfere with my lifestyle. Now here's where we are. I've drawn this line. Preach me as close to that line as you want to preach me. But don't you try to preach me beyond it, because I'm not going. That's the mind that the thorns have come up and choked out, and no food is brought to perfection. When you read all the accounts, it's a serious thing. But then the fourth soil is a type of the surrendered mind. I receive it. I rely upon it. I will rejoice over it. What is our attitude toward preaching? No acceptance by the wayside. No depth on the stony places. No room among the thorns and choke them. Or is it the good ground, bringing forth some 100, some 60, and some 30? I want to bring forth some fruit.
Amen.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The soil of our hearts.